All right, let's open our Bibles to the book of Exodus and read about the first Passover. Israel had been in Egypt about 400 years, and the Lord had sent Moses down to deliver the people out of bondage and lead them over to Canaan. And in chapter 11 of Exodus, verse 1, the Lord said to Moses, "Yet will I bring one plague more upon Pharaoh and upon Egypt. And after that, afterwards, he will let you go hence. When he shall let you go, he shall surely thrust you out hence altogether." Verse 4. And Moses says, "Thus saith the Lord, about midnight will I go out into the midst of Egypt, and all the firstborn in the land of Egypt shall die, from the firstborn of Pharaoh that sitteth upon his throne, even unto the firstborn of the maid servant that's behind the mill, and all the firstborn of the beast. There shall be a great cry throughout all the land of Egypt, such as there was none like it, nor shall be like it any more. But God will deliver his people. God will show mercy to Israel. But against any of the children of Israel shall not a dog, not even a dog, move his tongue, against man or beast, that you may know how that the Lord doth put a difference between the Egyptians and Israel." Now chapter 12, verse 1. "And so the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt, saying, This month shall be unto you the beginning of months, shall be the first month of the year to you. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, In the tenth day of this month they shall take to them every man a lamb." Now this is a picture of Christ, our Passover. This is the first Passover feast. First Passover observed by Israel. "Take a lamb according to the house of their fathers, a lamb for a house. If the household be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of the souls, because they must eat all of it, leave nothing remaining. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb." Now listen to this. "Your lamb shall be without blemish. Our Lord Jesus Christ is without spot or sin. Must be a male of the first year in the prime of life. You take it out from the sheep or from the goats. You keep it up until the 14th day." That's 4 days observing it. Make sure there's no blight or scurvy or disease or any blemish on this particular lamb. Leave it up and observe it. "The whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it." Kill the lamb in the evening. "And take the blood." Now here's the first mention of hyssop. You take the blood, and this is what the way you take it. Look down at verse 21. "And Moses called for all the elders of Israel and said unto them, Draw out and take your lamb now according to your families and kill the Passover. Take a bunch of hyssop." You don't put your hands on the blood. The hyssop is a plant that grows not very tall, has leaves and certain hyssop. That's just a plant. And they take these pieces of this plant and fix it like they do fix it and dip it in the blood and sprinkle it on the lintel and the side post. And that was what the high priest did. He dipped hyssop and sprinkled the blood. And he says there in verse 22, you take a bunch of hyssop. You know, David, when he prayed in Psalm 51 said, Lord, purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me. I'll be whiter than the snow. Sprinkle the blood upon my heart and cleanse me. Take a bunch of hyssop, verse 22, dip it in the blood that's in the basin, and strike the lintel and the two side posts with the blood that's in the basin, and none of you go out of the door of his house until the evening, for the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians. And when he sees the blood upon the lintel, on the side post, the Lord will pass over. There's the word, see, that's the Passover. The Lord pass over. They will not suffer the destroyer to come into your houses to smite you. This is a picture of our Lord. This is our Lord is establishing this Passover way back here in Egypt as a picture of the death of his son for his people. And go back now to verse 7. You take the blood. I had to go over there and show you how they took the blood. They didn't touch it in any way. You strike it on the two side posts and on the upper door post of the houses wherein thou shalt eat it. And thou shalt eat the flesh in that night. Eat the Passover. Roast it with fire now. Don't eat it raw. Roast it with fire. Unleavened bread. Note, leaven is a type of evil. It's a type of sin. So we've got a lamb and eat it with unleavened bread with bitter herbs. These bitter herbs are a picture of repentance and sorrow for our sins. Eat it with unleavened bread. Roast it with fire. Our Lord died under the judgment and fire of God's wrath on the cross. Verse 9, eat it not raw, and don't mix it with anything, not sodden at all with water. Don't put anything with it or gravy. Roast it with fire, head with his legs with the pertness thereof. And let nothing remain of it until the morning. It's the whole Christ that saves. Not part Christ. He's prophet, priest, and king. You take Christ in all of his office and work and in all of his great name and righteousness, wisdom, atonement. Let nothing remain until the morning. And that which remaineth of it until the morning you shall burn with fire. And eat it with your loins girded. Shoes on your feet, staff in your hand, ready to leave this place. Eat it in haste. It's the Lord's Passover. For I will pass through the land of Egypt this night and smite all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, man and beast, and against all the gods, that's princes and kings and rulers of Egypt, I'll execute judgment. I'm the Lord. But the blood of Christ shall be to you for a token upon the houses. You say, well, that didn't say the blood of Christ, but that's what it is anyway. It's a picture of the blood of Christ. They were looking. The blood of lambs and bulls and goats can't take away sin. The death of an animal can't stand in the stead of a man. You know that. This is a type. And these people were saved, Moses, Abraham, Isaac, Abel, by looking to the lamb. They sacrificed the lamb, but they weren't trusting that lamb and that blood to save them. They were trusting God's lamb and the blood of Christ to save. They were looking to the coming Lord like we look back to the Lord who came. This is a symbol here. This is not the blood of Christ. And this wine and bread won't save anybody. This is not a sacrament. This can't take sin away, but I'll tell you this, what that represents can take sin away. And when we take this, we're not looking to this to save anybody. But this is a type, this is a symbol, this is a picture of him who did die, shed his blood. This grape wine was squeezed out of a grape, took a life out of that grape. This bread was roasted and baked and threshed and winnowed and brought into the loaf. And that's what this is here. He says, I'll pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you when I smite the land of Egypt. Now, turn to Luke chapter 22. And this is what Brother Frank read in the book of Matthew a while ago. We'll look at Luke 22. And our Lord was born a Jew. He was born the seed of David. He was born of the tribe of Judah. That's the kingly tribe in Israel. He's the king priest. And he was born a Jew. And he was under the law. Moses said, now you observe this Passover every year. The first month, the 10th day, you observe this Passover until the Lord comes. You observe it. And they observed. Now, when the Lord Jesus came, a man in the flesh, he was made under the law of Moses. He was circumcised when he was 8 days old, called his name Jesus. His mother took him to the temple when he was a baby to offer sacrifices, like all Jewish babies. That's when he saw Simeon in the temple. Simeon saw him, rather. When he was 12 years old, about 12, they took him to the temple for that special ceremony. And our Lord went to the synagogue every Sabbath day. He kept the Sabbath. Yes, sir. He was under that law. He was under that law. He kept the Sabbath, and he kept the Passover. He did all these things, fulfilling our righteousness. He kept them perfectly. No, none of these men ever kept them perfectly, but he did, and gave to us that righteousness. Now, so here, on the night that he was betrayed, on the night before he was to suffer, verse 14 of Luke 22, and when the hour was come, he sat down with his 12 apostles. To do what? To do what he'd done every year for 33 years. Kept the Passover. Every year. Kept the Passover. Because our Passover hadn't died yet. Now this is the last Passover. This is it. Because he's about to die. Now you hold that right there and turn to, leave Luke. Now leave it there and turn to 1 Corinthians 5. And this sums this whole thing up right here, what I'm talking about, in 1 Corinthians 5, verse 7. Now you have it, 1 Corinthians 5, 7. Now you purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, as you are unleavened. For even Christ, our Passover, is sacrificed for us. You see, Christ is our lamb. We have a lamb without blemish, without spot, a male of the first year, prime of life. Sinless. He's been up tested all these years. A man of sorrows acquainted with grief, tested by Satan, tested by the law, tested by the Father, tested by men, tried, and no sin was found in him. And then he was killed. His blood was shed. And God sprinkled our hearts with the blood of Christ. Now let's look at this. Luke 22, verse 14. When the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him, and he said, with desire, I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. Now, when our lamb dies, we're not going to kill any more lambs. When his blood's shed, we're not going to shed any more blood. When his blood's applied, we're not going to look to any of these types and pictures. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God, and neither shall any other of his people. And he took the cup, gave thanks, and said, take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I'll not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. He took the bread, unleavened bread, gave thanks. He broke it. See, his body was broken. The bread is broken in pieces. And gave it to them, and he said, this is my body. But it wasn't his actual body. He was standing there in his body. He was standing right. That's not his actual body. That's a picture of his broken body. And that's what this is. I know that folks back years ago used to talk about this bread becomes the body of Christ. No, it doesn't. It's symbolic of the body of Christ. When he said, this is my body, he's saying this is symbolically. There's his body still right here. And gave thanks, and this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise, the cup, he said, this cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you. So you can see it doesn't become his blood or become his body, because his blood was still in his body when he was standing there. But it's a picture and a type. And that's the last, he's
closing the door on the Passover. Christ, our Passover, is about to die. And the next time those disciples come together to consider the sacrifice and to consider the atonement, they eat the bread and drink the wine in memory of Christ who died. All right, turn to 1 Corinthians 11. And here Paul gave this supper to the church. Paul, an apostle, he passed it along to the church. And he says in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 23. And this is not, back here in verse 22, he said, "Have you not houses to eat and drink in?" This is not a fellowship supper. This is not a gala affair where everybody gathers and carries on like some of them were doing. He said, "You've got houses to eat and drink in. Despise the church of God and shame them that have not. What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not." All right, he said, here's the way to observe the Lord's table. "I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it. And he said, take and eat this." That's what we do. We give thanks. The bread is broken. We give thanks. And we take it. We take it deliberately and willingly. We take this bread. We take it. "Take it and eat it. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he supped, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do ye." And there's no, the Jews observed the Passover once a year, but he didn't give us a set time to observe the Lord's table. Not once a year. It's not on the 10th or the 14th of April. It's as often as you do it. Mr. Spurgeon observed the Lord's table every Lord's Day in the tabernacle in London. And some observe it more often than others. But there's nothing said here about how often, except one thing. As often as you do it solemnly and sincerely and in a committed fashion, remembering the Lord's death. As often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show. Show it to whom? Well, it's a confession before God. Christ is my hope. Christ is my Redeemer. Christ is my Savior. Christ is my only righteousness, atonement, sin offering, hope, life, salvation. Confess it to God between me and him. Lord, I believe. Confess it to one another. Confess it to your children. It's like Moses said back there in Exodus, when your children ask you, "What are you doing? What does this mean?" He said, "When you kill a lamb and eat the flesh, and put the blood on the door, on the mercy seat, what do you mean by this service?" "Well, it's the Lord's Passover." And we say to our children, "It's the Lord's Supper." And we do it before the Lord. We do it before one another. We do it before our children. And we do it in our own hearts again, confessing, "This is my hope. This is my redemption." It's not in church membership, my good deeds and morality, and whatever God may have given us as gifts and goodness and mercy in Christ. But now, verse 27 says, "Now, whosoever eats this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily, in an unworthy manner, shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And he goes on and tells us what this unworthy manner is. "Let a man examine himself." Examine himself for what? How good he is? Oh, no. Whether he discerns. That word discern. Discerns the Lord's body. Understands what he's doing. Means what he's doing. Is serious about what he's doing. Before the Lord. That's what we're talking about. Be sure that we discern the Lord's body. "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat." Don't examine himself and then run from it. But examine yourself and eat that bread and drink that cup. "He that eateth and drinketh unworthily, eateth and drinketh judgment to himself, It's not that one act that damns him. That's an unfortunate word the King James uses. It's judgment. It's judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Discerning. That's his problem, you see. Anyone who eats and drinks, not discerning, not understanding, not doing this just as a ritual or as a common church ordinance, or because everybody else is doing it, or maybe as a good luck charm, or maybe looking for some salvation in that bread and wine. If people believe this is a sacrament, you know what? A sacrament has saving power. But this is not a sacrament. So don't eat it that way. Not at all. Not at all. It doesn't have a saving value. That's not discerning the Lord's body. That's the problem. All right, back to 1 Corinthians 10. One more verse, and then I'm going to make some comments that I think will be a blessing to you. In 1 Corinthians 10, verse 15, I speak as to wise men, taught men and women with discernment. They've listened and they've learned. I speak to wise men. Now you judge what I say. The cup of blessing, this cup of blessing right here, I hold in my hand. It says the cup of blessing. Our Lord talked about the cup of suffering. He said to his disciples, the cup which my Father hath given me, shall I not drink of it? He talked about the cup of service. If you give a cup of cold water to somebody in the name of a disciple, God bless you. That's the cup of service. And then he talks in Revelation about the cup of wrath. The cup of wrath is poured out with indignation. But this is the cup of blessing. You know what that means? It says the cup, not a cup. This is the cup. This is the only source of blessing. This cup, which represents his shed blood. You see what I'm saying? This, the cup of blessing. Every blessing of God for you and me, symbolically, right here. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenlies in Christ. Isn't that right? In Christ. In him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. You're complete in Christ. The cup of blessing. That's what it is, symbolically. There's none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. All right, this, read that. This cup, the cup of blessing, which we bless. Now listen. It doesn't say here that we say words over it and turn it into what it's not. I know that there are people who talk about the priest blesses this and it becomes something that is not. And no man got any authority to turn this into anything. There was a fellow back in the 15th or 14th century went to the priest and he said, the wine that the altar boy has there, what is it? He said, well, when I bless it, it's turned into the blood of Christ. He said, will the blood of Christ make anybody drunk? The priest said, no. He said, get that boy to drink that whole container and let's see what happens to him. If it's the blood of Christ, it will not make him drunk. Naturally, he turned him down on his offer. You can't turn this into something that's not. That's not the way we bless it. We don't have any authority to turn this into a saving liquid. How do we bless it? I'll tell you how we bless it. We bless it by setting it apart. This is not a common meal. This is a special meal. Special meal at a special time for special people, remembering a special Lord. That's how we bless it. Secondly, we bless it by faith. It's not for everybody. It's for believers. We bless it by faith. We believe. It's not an open public demonstration. It's for redeemed believers who discern the body and blood of their Lord. And they bless it with their devotion and faith and commitment. Thirdly, they bless it by prayer. They ask God to bless them with a greater understanding of his blood, a greater understanding of his love. And we bless it with praise. We praise him for his mercy to us and for his grace through Christ our Lord. So this cup of blessing which we bless. Now watch this question. Is it not the communion of the blood of Christ? This bread, the bread, the cup, the bread which we break, is it not the communion of the body of Christ? I want you, if you will, and this is something I do all the time. It helps me so much. And maybe you can do the same thing if you buy a concordance, Strong's Concordance, which they have in the office. And you look up this word communion in the Greek lexicon. If you read in the Old Testament, you look it up in the Hebrew. But I looked up this word. It says, the cup of blessing which we bless. Is it not the communion? It's not the actual blood of Christ, but it's the communion of the blood of Christ. It's the communion of the body of Christ. And the word communion here in the Greek has five words, which it means. Five words. Number one, it means participation. I just said it, participation. We're united to Christ by grace. And through that union with Christ, we participate in his mercies, in his righteousness, in his blood. Of God, are you in Christ, who's made unto you wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption? You participate because you're in him. That's what this is, participation. Secondly, partnership. Union, communion, union with Christ. We're joint heirs with Christ, being sons of God. We're joint heirs with him who is the heir. Like a wife and a husband become one. Partnership. What's his is hers. Thirdly, it means distribution. If God spared not his own son, how shall he not with him freely give us all things? God's not going to withhold anything from you that Christ bought for you, or in your stead, or in your place. He gives it. That's distribution. It's participation. It is partnership. It is distribution. It's fellowship. We're one. Father, he said, I pray that they may be one as we're one. That's fellowship in Christ. And then fifthly, the word benefaction, benefit. Benefits. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits. And let me show you, I read this at Brother Roy's memorial service, Psalm 116. Psalm 116. Talking about these benefits in Christ. In Psalm 116, verse 12. Psalm 116, verse 12. What shall I render unto the Lord for all his benefits toward me? I'll take the cup. That's what I'll render to him. I'll take the cup of salvation. And I'll call on the name of the Lord. And I'll pay my vows now in the presence of his people. That's what I'll do. Benefits. All right, back to this text here now. The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not partnership, fellowship, union, participation, communion with our Lord Jesus Christ? This bread we break, is it not the communion, the bread that we break, communion of the body of Christ? That's what it is. This cup of wine is a sign and symbol of his blood. For it is in his blood and his death that the blessings of God become ours. This bread is the communion of his broken body. He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we're healed. And by drinking and eating, We believe, we receive, and we remember. And as often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we show the Lord's death till he comes. Now, one more statement. Verse 17. For we being many are one bread. How many grains of corn? I don't have any. The bread's there. You know what it looks like. How many grains of corn had to be threshed and ground? I watched the ladies down the Pueblos deal with that round stone and pouring corn into this little bowl and grinding it with that stone. How many grains of corn went into the making of that one bread? How many of us are here, but we're one bread? How many grapes? Oh, how many grapes are stomped and threshed and bruised and broken to become one wine? And that's what we are. He said, you being many, and one bread and one body, the body of Christ. And all partakers of that one bread and that one wine. There are many. Go on back as far as you want to. Our forefathers and reformers, they believe. They observe this supper. Our Lord fulfilled the Passover and established the Lord's table. And God's people for centuries, have been meeting together like we are tonight. This bread is my body broken for you. And this wine is my blood shed for you. Many of us, but we're one. One Lord, one faith, one body.